The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, August 28th through Sunday, September 3rd, 2023. The commentary for the month of August was written by Alan W. Farabee, an Episcopal priest, retired cathedral dean, husband, father, and grandfather who lives in Wesley Chapel, Florida. The commentary for the month of September, which will begin during this week, was written by Catherine Nishibayashi, a fourth-generation member of St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Los Angeles and a graduate of the Church Divinity School of the Pacific. Prior to seminary, she spent 12 years as an elementary school teacher. When not busy with church activities, she enjoys reading, singing, and watching Dodgers baseball. And the commentary for Monday, August 28th, begins as follows with a passage from the Psalm number 1. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on His law day and night. And I should point out, too, that Monday, August 28th, is the day we celebrate the life and the legacy of Augustine of Hippo. Now here's the commentary. Born in North Africa, in the far reaches of the Roman Empire, with a Christian mother and a non-observant father, Augustine, whom we remember today, was a star from the beginning. Smart, imaginative, and ambitious, he offered himself around the empire trying out religions until one day, having been mesmerized by the preaching of Ambrose, Bishop of Milan, Augustine heard God's voice and was transformed. At the great vigil of Easter in 386, Augustine was baptized. He eventually returned to Africa, where he spent the rest of his life serving as bishop, as well as thinking, praying, writing, preaching, exhorting, pummeling, and hoping. We still honor Augustine, we still read his writings, and he still speaks to us, because he figured out that our problem is not enough love. Our problem is that we love everything else more than God. But Augustine reminds us that God will keep coming after us until we do love God most of all. And now I'm going to read the full psalm from the first book of Psalms, the very first book in that wonderful collection of books from the Old Testament. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither, and all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And the moving forward question for this Monday, August 28th, the feast day of Augustine of Hippo: can we imagine what it would be like to meditate on God's law day and night? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, August 29th, the feast day of the beheading of John the Baptist, or the day we commemorate that event. It begins with a passage from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 2 to 3a. I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong, be courageous, and keep the charge of the Lord your God. What would you say as the end approaches? Some people are remorseful, some are pensive, some try to get everything in order. A year ago, Queen Elizabeth of Great Britain died after 70 years on the throne. I wonder how she prepared for her final days. Today, David is at the end or near the end. He has lived a full life, raucous, violent, majestic, lustful, flawed, and visionary. Now he is about to leave things to his son Solomon, and he is quick and clear. Be strong, be courageous, and walk in the ways of God. Pretty textbook advice, except that David knows from many failures how hard it is to follow that advice. It is a holy time, this time of leaving. I remember my time with my father just before he died. He said he loved me, that he was proud of me, and that I would do well in the years to come. So David spoke to Solomon. Then it was up to Solomon. And today I'm going to read from the Gospel passage for this day, for Tuesday, August 29th. It's from Mark chapter 13, and it's verses 28 to 37. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at a cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. And the moving forward question for this day refers back to David. Are you feeling hopeless? Let David's words lift you and give you hope. The commentary for Wednesday, August 30th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 4b. Why was the ointment wasted in this way? Many years ago, I went to a fine store to buy a birthday gift for my wife. I had decided to spend $50, but as I toured the store, I could hear the amount growing by the second. When I finally found the perfect gift, a Franz porcelain vase and teacups, the price tag had grown to $300. I knew they were the perfect gift because after I went to bed, I couldn't sleep, so I got up, went downstairs, and found my wife staring in rapture at the vase. The nameless woman who entered the house of Simon the leper emptied her precious ointment on Jesus' head. Yes, some moments are meant for caution, but this was not one. Her ointment was not a fungible commodity, liable to being turned into money for the poor. It was her gift, her extravagant offering to Jesus, a foreshadowing of anointing his body for burial. This woman's gift is an example of God's love, a reminder that extravagance is the mode of our Savior. Way beyond the necessary, Jesus' love for the world overflows beyond all caution. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people. While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon and the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." And the moving forward question for this day, what gifts can you offer with extravagance? The commentary for Thursday, August 31st, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 17. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And I should point out that today we celebrate Aidan of Lindisfarne. It is his feast day today, August 31st. Now here's the commentary. If you remember, we began this month scattered on the hillside, hungry, waiting for bread and fish to satisfy our hunger. We were worried there would not be enough, but we lingered and were fed. How lovely, then, that we end this month at another supper, in the quiet of a chamber around a table with our friend Jesus. It is the last supper he will enjoy with his friends, and the air is filled with equal parts thanksgiving and anxiety. It turns into an evening of betrayal, but more importantly, it becomes an evening of blessing. With the Passover in the air, the bread and wine become promises of liberation and life. They signify the promise of God's kingdom and God's hope. And then they sing a hymn and go out to the Mount of Olives. We know the rest: betrayal, trial, suffering, crucifixion, resurrection, and leaving. But mostly we know that each time we gather to remember this supper, Jesus is with us. He promised. He promises. So let us break bread together, sing our hymns, and go out rejoicing. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Mark 14, verses 12 to 26. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city, and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, take this, my body. Then he took a cup, after giving thanks, and gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And the moving forward statement for this Thursday, August 31st, the last day of the month, try to remember Jesus each time you break bread, feed the hungry, and share what you have done. Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, September 1st, the first day of the new month. It begins with a passage from Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Jesus said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. Night has fallen. Jesus and his disciples are not asleep indoors, but on the move. When they reach Gethsemane, Jesus appears shaken to the core. His feet shuffle away from his companions until his knees finally buckle. From his mouth come raw, aching pleas to God as he clings to the ground. I have heard many sermons that lift up Jesus' Gethsemane prayer as a model for obedient submission to God. But when I take in this story in Mark 14, verses 27 to 42, I hear Jesus praying in a difficult situation, and I read in his words support for the times I have prayed during struggles in my own life. I think Jesus opens space in Gethsemane for prayers of falling apart. Turmoil, confusion, and desperation have a chance to cry out to God here. Protest can plead here. Bodies can crumble or scuffle with God, Jacob style, here. And there's space for you and me to fall apart in prayer, too. And now I'm going to read from this full passage for today, Mark chapter 17, verses 27 to 42. And Jesus said to them, you will all become deserters. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even though all become deserters, I will not. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said vehemently, even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And the moving forward statement for this day is, if life feels overwhelming, take comfort and turn to God, even with prayers of falling apart. Now we turn to the commentary for Saturday, September 2nd, when we celebrate the martyrs of New Guinea. It begins with a passage from Psalm 116, verse 6. Turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has treated you well. One night when I was feeding my newborn son, someone threw a brick through the sliding glass door of my apartment. When I heard the noise, I held the baby crouched down behind the bed and called 911. I kept praying my son would stay quiet and that whoever broke in would not come upstairs. Thankfully, the intruder fled without entering the room. A police officer arrived and let us know it was safe to come out of hiding. No one got hurt. My husband, baby, cat, and I were all okay. It took a while, though, for my fear to subside. The psalmist's words in this verse can express joyful relief, but for me, they also give voice to the negotiating process my soul and body need so I can release fear and embrace rest. And now I'm going to read Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. The moving forward question for this Saturday: what helps you let go of fear and stress so you can embrace rest? And we conclude this week's program with a commentary for Sunday, September 3rd, the 14th Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 2. There the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Exodus radiates grand miraculous moments. Insect infestation, seas parting, and mass liberation of oppressed people. Before these unfold, though, this peculiar encounter between God and Moses takes place. While it has magnificent elements, I am intrigued by the minute contours. The flock of grazing animals, Moses' bare feet on ground, declared holy, and the vulnerable questions that emerge from Moses' mouth. Who am I and who are you? God and Moses find each other in grace notes of earth and flesh. A plan of mighty deliverance arises among plants, empty sandals, and a reluctant human being. Sometimes our churches strive so hard to make what we do special and grand for a God who parts seas. But this story reminds me that God enters the small moments of our lives, too. What may seem too incidental for God's magnificence can become part of a divine liberation plot. And now I'm going to read more from Exodus chapter 3. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight, and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." And the moving forward question for this Sunday, September 3rd, is give thanks for the big and small ways God enters your life. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication from forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.